We have an extraordinary opportunity before us in these next elections, speaking, of course, as a Democrat. And we need to take advantage of that opportunity, but not because it's good for Democrats, because we have an agenda that we think is good for America. Entrepreneurship is what's built America. Entrepreneurial spirit led Americans west a century ago and established our country as a great global economic engine. Whether we are able to continue that extraordinary American entrepreneurial leadership depends on a White House and a Congress that understand technology, and depends on a White House and a Congress that are willing to allow the most talented people from all over the world to come to America to study and to create jobs, as so many of you have here today. Our agenda is very clear. The first thing that we will do is restore honest leadership and open government to America. We want a strong defense in this country, but a strong defense must be predicated on telling the truth to our soldiers, our citizens, and our allies before sending troops abroad. We, like 36 other countries in the world, need to have a healthcare system that works for everybody. We need American jobs to be created by a new industry, energy independence. Outsourcing is very controversial, but one thing we can agree on is that any politician who tells you that jobs have already gone to another country or somehow going to come back is not true. And protective tariffs are the wrong way to deal with job loss. What we need to do is create more jobs here, and we can do that. Energy independence as an industry in a country that uses 25% of the energy created in the world for 5% of the population has an enormous staying power here, creating jobs both on the manufacturing side, which will weatherize homes and businesses all over America, as we did in my state, and on the construction side, creating industries that will take advantage of solar power, take advantage of wind power, take advantage of ethanol, take advantage of clean coal technologies. There are enormous sources of energy. We simply need to use them and to create a new industry with huge incentives to do that. Those jobs have to stay here because this is the country with the largest gradient between how much energy we use and what our percentage of the world population is. We need real retirement security in this country. Social Security does work, and it ought to be left as it is in terms of the system. We can tinker with it around the edges to make it pay for itself, but it ought not to be privatized, and private pensions need to remain in the hands of the working people who earned those pensions. That is critical for success in this country. I want to talk about specifically about 4 points in this agenda. The first is the need to create jobs. We've spoken of what we hope to do in energy. But if we are to create new jobs in America, we have to have a workforce that's capable of doing that. One of the great shames in the last few years in this country has been the creation of the Patriot Act, which has kept hundreds of thousands of qualified PhDs coming from other countries who did come to the United States and then stayed to create businesses. Now they have trouble getting in. When my daughter was in college, she's about to graduate, she took a year or half a year and went to Sydney, Australia. I went to Sydney to visit with her, with my wife. We discovered that America is no longer the place that English-speaking and people who wish to speak English come to get their PhDs. Now Australia has the largest number of English-speaking students anywhere in the world who come from other countries. That country used to be the United States of America, and we are poorer because of it, because we need well-trained scientists, mathematicians who will create jobs here in America. We need to change our immigration policy to be sensible and thoughtful about the economic parameters that we depend on. We, in my campaign, many of you know that it's touted as the internet campaign, and I hardly dare do that because I am not a technology guru. Now, that's a very foolish thing to mention in front of a conference like this. But what we did that was very smart was to make sure there were a lot of 18, 19, 20, 25-year-olds who were actually really running our campaign, and they were technology gurus, and we were able to do extraordinary things. And some of those things we brought to the DNC. Last week, we knocked on 1 million doors and gave out a Democratic Party message to 1 million people. We were able to organize that through the internet. We were able to put up tools on the internet so people could print their own messages and distribute them throughout their neighborhoods in every single state in the country. We now have used the internet not just for fundraising, but for organizing so that people can speak to each other again. The potential for technology is enormous in the political business. It will replace television, and it's already beginning to do so. Now, if we can get political folks to do these things when their political lives depend on it, we can spread that to the rest of the population. And it's mostly good news technologically in terms of expansion of the internet. The good news is the digital divide is shrinking rapidly. The ability to get broadband in your home is changing dramatically. There's not as restrictive by income or by ethnicity as it was 3 or 4 years ago. The bad news is that there are some in corporate America who would limit the expansion of broadband and limit, therefore, the dissemination of the technology. Broadband needs to be open source so that all can benefit from it, and that is particularly true in developing countries like India. We need to spread broadband to every possible household in the entire world so that we can make this world smaller and therefore increase entrepreneurship, so that entrepreneurship may be global and not simply limited to countries with deep internet penetration. One of the issues I spoke of was ethics in government. Ethics is a serious problem now in corporate America. And there's one reason for that. Corporate CEOs respond to leadership from the White House. If they see an administration which says they'll fire leakers and then continues to hire them and keep them on with a security clearance, they see an administration where senior people are arrested in the White House for the first time in 135 years, if they see an administration where the leader of the United States Senate is under investigation for insider trading, if they see an administration where the leader of the House of Representatives is forced to resign because he's been indicted, if American CEOs see those things in Washington, then some of them will assume that it's okay for them to do the same kinds of things. It's very dangerous. And it's dangerous because the success of capitalism depends on everybody benefiting from it. And the perception increasingly in America is that the fruits of capitalism are those who invest their capital only, but not their labor. The differentiation between those at the top and those at the bottom is not a moral issue. Some people say it is. It is a survival issue for the system of capitalism. The Democratic Party believes that everybody has to be included. It is not an accident that in the 1950s and the 1960s, we had the largest numbers of middle-class people in this country. It was possible to work in a farm or work in a factory, work in a mine, work in a school, and live a middle-class life. That is harder and harder to do. I have to say that this industry and this region of the country has done far better in taking care of their employees than Americans as a whole elsewhere in the world. I thank you for that, and we must do that everywhere. We need to develop a skilled and educated workforce in the vital areas of science, math, engineering, and information technology, not simply relying on those who left our shores because of the immigration policies after 9/11 set by this government, but we also need to develop homegrown excellence in our public schools. We need to emphasize science, math, and technology, and that means we have to pay science, math, and technology teachers the kind of wage that they can easily make a living in the school system. Otherwise, they'll come to work for you at twice the wages, but they won't be working for America's children. It is not enough to have blind testing in order to have successful education. That is not enough. We have to nurture creativity among our teachers. And we can do that, but we can't do it for free. There is an extraordinary man in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, who I spoke with a couple of days ago. His name is Cliff Hudson. Some of you have seen his restaurant chain. I think they're in California. I think it's called Sonic. And it's a fast food place, and he's got them. It's franchised, and it's all over the place now. He's made a lot of money. And like many of you, many of whom I've spoken to over the last couple of days as I've been in the Valley area and at a wonderful event at Kamo's house last night, like many of you, he now wants to give back. America has been good to him, and he wants to give back. He is not a politician, but he wanted to improve Oklahoma City schools. In many cities, including Oklahoma City, as the city matured, people moved out, the central schools became worse. So he put his considerable fortune behind a bond issue that was passed by the people of Oklahoma City, a substantial bond issue running into hundreds of millions of dollars, to improve the schools. They tore down some of the old schools. They fixed up some of the ones that they had. They didn't need to be torn down, but did need to be rehabbed. They increased teacher pay. They modernized the governance system. They got rid of some of the corruption that was in the school system. And I said, how did you do that? How did you put all that money in, and how did you know it was going to turn out? If you put money into a corrupt system, it's not going to work. And there was a long silence in the end of the phone, and he said, well, I had to agree to this. If I was going to get the backing of the public, I had to agree to something I didn't want to do. And I said, what is that? He said, I became chairman of the school board. Sometimes it takes that. We're going to get to that in a minute. But sometimes it takes people standing up and putting a hold on their business career to make real change in America. And if he can do that in Oklahoma City, you can do that in San Jose, you can do that in Los Angeles, you can do it anywhere. One person can make a substantial difference, and there are many people in this room who have done so. We need real change in this country. And I think this election is going to be about real change. Do you want to continue on the path that we're continuing on today, or do you want real change? Most Americans want real change. And let me speak to you for one moment about how I hope to get it, and then we'll take some questions. Politics, as usual, both Democratic and Republican, is broken. In Washington, folks are risk aversive but rapid adapters. They are afraid of new ideas because they're not tried, but once they're tried and successful, they'll take them up. That's not what Americans are looking for anymore. When I left my campaign in the middle of 2004, I said to the people, many of whom are still in politics, who came out to support me, most of whom had not been in politics before, that I needed them to run for office. And a lot of them did. And they became school board members, they became city council members, they became mayors all over the country. My cousin, who is an Irish Catholic Democrat, won the mayorship in the largest county in Utah, where he is a triple minority, and it's a jurisdiction of 1 million people. He was at 24% when he first started. America has changed a lot. Some of you have been here for a long time. Some of you were born here. You know what the changes have been over the last three decades. The Democratic Party is a party that's made up of minorities. Everybody in the Democratic Party is a minority except for women. That's what California is like. There are no majorities in California except for women. There are Asian Americans, African Americans, Anglos, Hispanics, Native Americans, but everybody's a minority. Nobody is over 50%. That's what the whole country is going to look like. So as we rebuild the Democratic Party and rebuild America, the discussion among groups that have been considered minority groups is no longer a discussion about a place at the table. It's about a place on the ticket. I need your help. I need you to run for office. There's some very successful people in this room. Some of you have made a lot of money. I want you to consider now a career in public service where your money will come in handy because it's expensive to get elected in California. So there are a lot of young people in this office. You haven't made your fortune yet, but you have ideas and you have energy. I want you to run for office. I want you to get out there, and I want you, you don't have to run for Congress or for the senator. You can run for an office that involves you in your community. You can run for a part-time office. And I'll tell you why it's important. One of the terrible things that's happened to this country over the last 30 or 40 years is that people thought that democracy was going to happen anyway. The democracy was the highest form of evolved government, and therefore, once we got to a democratic place, it would take care of itself. It doesn't take care of itself. Only by being involved, and voting is not enough. Voting is the minimal obligation for everybody who's a citizen of this country, and only half the people vote. You've got to run for office, you've got to work in a political campaign. If you care what happens to this country, if you care about public policy, don't rely on me to execute your public policy because I can't do it, and don't rely on folks in Washington to do it. Do it yourself. Because by getting out there and putting yourself forward as a candidate, you would be amazed. People say, I can't do politics, it's a dirty game. It is a very tough game, although remember what Winston Churchill said, that democracy is the worst system we've ever invented, except for every other. Much better to say terrible things about each other than to shoot at each other. We need your help. Most of you here are extraordinarily successful in technology, either by your breadth of knowledge or your success in starting a business. Many of you here have said that you wanted to give back, and many of you are doing so, backing young candidates for office who would otherwise have no chance. But some of you should be in politics. And so I ask you, before we start the question period, to think carefully about this. This is a conference about jobs. It's a conference about technology. But the truth is, government policy matters a lot. And it's government policy that has a lot to do with education. It has a lot to do with immigration. It has a lot to do with the respect or lack of it that we have around the world. It has a lot to do with the business conditions under which you can easily form businesses or get your kids into college and pay for that college education. Those decisions are resource allocations decisions, and those decisions get made in the political arena. And if you want those decisions to stay in the hands of ordinary Americans who are so proud to be Americans, run for office. Thanks very much.